All right, let me, as we're getting set now for our time to hear the word together, I want to say, again, thank you to those of you that came out to lead us in that, the band, sound, and our video production as well. Thank you guys so much for serving our church in this way. And we're going to turn now to a time to hear God's word together and think through God's word together. So I want to invite you to open with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 14. So turn to Proverbs 14, scroll to Proverbs 14, whatever that is for you. Parents, let me invite you to help your kids get there. I'd love it if our kids who are our readers are reading right along with us. But let's all be opened up to Proverbs 14 now. And we're going to read just a couple verses out of Proverbs 14 in just a minute. We're going to hit pause right now on Philippians. We're just going to take a short break from here. We might actually come back to Philippians next week, but even then, it'll probably look just a little bit different. But for right now, for this week and next week, what I want us to think about is this. What does faith look like in times of uncertainty? What does faith do in times of uncertainty? So this week and next week, we're going to look at two aspects of that. We want to think about the vertical aspect of that, so our faith in God. And then also we want to think about the horizontal aspect of that, how that faith in God leads us to interact with one another and how we love and serve one another in faith in this time. And there's certainly overlap there as well. Of course, there's overlap, and we'll see even some of that overlap this week. But that's where we're heading. What does faith look like in times of uncertainty? We're not very familiar with times like this. We've been really blessed by God, and it's been the kindness of God that has allowed us more or less to live very securely for quite some time. I mean, it's been quite a while for us as a nation when we've been in such a time of uncertainty. But God's people know uncertain times. God's people know uncertain times. If you look back through church history, you'll see that God's people know the value of faith in uncertain times. Or if you read back through the Psalms even, if you read through the Psalms, you'll see that God's people know uncertain times. And I would encourage you, to do that. Scripture is full of these stories of people who lived in uncertain times, and encourage you to read the Psalms and read those scriptures in particular. Read the Psalms regularly. The Psalms show us how godly people handle adversity, how godly people handle uncertain times. Maybe you've got a favorite psalm. Maybe you've got a favorite psalm that you've read just this past week, or maybe one that God has used in your life in a significant way in some time in the past that speaks to some of that. If so, even right now, you can comment on that, you can share that, and that'd be something that maybe we can go back to later. Others of us can go back to later and read some of these that you would just mention in the comments right now. But these psalms that encourage our faith for uncertain times, God's people have known uncertain times, and God's word is the record of where they've turned in uncertain times. And God's word also shows us where to turn in uncertain times. And the answer, where we should turn in times of uncertainty, the answer might be surprising. It's certainly true that we should turn to God. It's certainly true that we should fix our eyes on God, that we should trust in Him in times like this. But there's something even more specific that we're instructed to do in times of uncertainty, something that if we do would give us confidence, that in this we would find refuge and it would give us life, something that we can do, somewhere for us to turn that would not only be a benefit to us individually, but also would be a benefit to our families, specifically to our children, and certainly from there outward into our community as well. And we see it in Proverbs 14, 26 and 27. Proverbs 14, 26 and 27, these two verses, hear God's word here. God's word says this: "In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death." In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Here's what I want us to see this morning. What do we do in times of uncertainty? Well, in times of uncertainty, we turn, and maybe surprisingly, but very specifically, God's word tells us to turn to the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. So how is the fear of the Lord the place for us to turn for confidence in times of uncertainty? How does the fear of the Lord not only give us refuge, but also provide refuge for our children as well? Or why is it the fear of the Lord, and not just the Lord, but why is it the fear of the Lord that we're to turn to specifically? And I think that we'll see the answer to those questions. I think we'll see the answer to those questions once we think through what the fear of the Lord is. When we see what the fear of the Lord is, then we'll see how living in the fear of the Lord, how walking in the fear of the Lord, how that life will give us confidence in times of uncertainty. When we understand what the fear of the Lord is, then we'll see how God uses that life to give refuge to our children in times of uncertainty. How even the fear of the Lord is the place where we find life. So we've mentioned the fear of the Lord even just recently in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians 2 verse 12, God's word tells us, we saw this just 2 weeks ago, to work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. And in that message, I quoted Jerry Bridges. And Jerry Bridges said this, that the fear of God is that indefinable mixture of reverence, fear, pleasure, joy, and awe, which fills our hearts when we realize who God is and what He has done for us. He said that the fear of the Lord is reverence and fear, but it's also pleasure and joy, and it's awe that fills our heart when we know who God is and when we know what He has done for us. And I would add one more thing. It's those attitudes, but also rightly understood, it always leads to action. The fear of the Lord, it always leads to action. See, we're called to know the fear of the Lord, and we're called to practice the fear of the Lord. We saw that truth just a little while ago in Psalm 111 and Psalm 112. And so let me ask you, just flip back to those chapters, if you would. Turn back right now, just back to Psalm 111 and Psalm 112, and follow along with me here. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, that this comes when we know who God is and what He has done for us. So who is God, right? We need to ask, who is God, and what has God done? Well, Psalm 111 tells us who God is, and Psalm 111 tells us what He has done. So who is God? Well, God is the one, Psalm 111 verse 3. God is the one whose works are full of splendor and majesty. God is the one who His righteousness, His justice, His holiness, His moral perfections, His righteousness endures forever. God's righteousness, God's perfection, God's holiness, God's goodness, His moral goodness, it doesn't lag, not ever. So right now, March 22nd, 2020, God is perfect in His righteousness towards us. He's perfect in His goodness towards us in who He is and how He works on earth. Verse 4 of Psalm 111 tells us that the Lord is gracious and merciful. That's who He is. Mountain Creek, we remember that. Just last year in Exodus, we saw when we got to Exodus 34 how God had called Moses up on the mountain. And there on the mountain, God told Moses that He would reveal Himself to Moses, and He would reveal the fullness of His glory to Moses. And what He did when He was revealing Himself to Moses, it said the Lord passed before Moses, and the Lord declared the name of the Lord. Here's what He said to reveal Himself to Moses. He said, "The Lord, the Lord, I am," He said, "the Lord, a God gracious and merciful." Like, this is the core of who God is. He's full of grace and mercy. He's full of steadfast love and compassion and faithfulness towards us. This is who God is. But what has He done? What has God done for us? The fear of the Lord is rooted in knowing who God is and what God has done. But Psalm 111 tells us not only who He is, it also tells us what He has done. So look down with me at verse 5. Verse 5, we read that God is the one. He provides food for those who fear Him. So every meal, remember, God is the one who provides food for you. He remembers His covenant forever. He has shown His people the power of His works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. It says, the works of God's hands towards you, towards us, His works are faithful and just. He's given us His word. Look at the end of verse 7 and verse 8. All His precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever. They're performed with faithfulness and uprightness. That God has, He's given redemption to His people. He's bought us back and brought us back to Himself. He's commanded His covenant forever. That He's faithful to us. He's given Christ for us. He's faithful, holy, and awesome. It ends verse 9 in this praise of who God is. Holy and awesome is His name. That's who God is. He's gracious and merciful. He's done all of these things from the most everyday giving food to us, from the most daily thing to the most significant thing in remembering and keeping His covenant. This is who God is. This is what He has done. And see this, right? We need to see this. After this discussion of who God is and what He has done, look down with me at verse 10 of Psalm 111. Psalm 111 has told us who God is and has told us what God has done. In verse 10, then it says this, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all those who practice it have a good understanding. The fear of the Lord. This conversation, this discussion, Psalm 111, this praise of God for who He is and what He has done, and then it leads to this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. What is the fear of the Lord? The psalmist has just told us who God is and what He has done. And then the fear of the Lord here in verse 10, the fear of the Lord is an understanding. It's an understanding of all these things about who God is, about what God has done. And the fear of the Lord always leads. It always leads to a practical response. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, those who practice it. The fear of the Lord is something that we should practice. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And all those who practice it, all those who practice the fear of the Lord, who put this this way of thinking of life, this way of knowing who God is, who put this into practice, all those who practice it have a good understanding. So, a very elementary definition. Right, a very basic definition of the fear of the Lord would be this. The fear of the Lord is a recognition of who God is that leads to a reflection of who God is in our lives. The fear of the Lord is a recognition of who God is that leads to a reflection of who God is in our lives. So we can look now at Psalm 112. Psalm 112, this can be for your family discussion later or for your individual reflection later, but look at Psalm 112 and notice the different ways that God is described in Psalm 111, these ways that God is described in Psalm 111, and then Psalm 111 ends with discussing the fear of the Lord, and Psalm 112 begins with discussing the fear of the Lord, but these ways that God is described in Psalm 111, and then notice how those very things are repeated in the description of the godly man in Psalm 112, right? What we see about who God is leads to how we live. So Psalm 112 begins, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. We read that beginning to Psalm 112. And then what we see is the description of this blessed man, the one who fears the Lord, the description of this godly man in Psalm 112. Looks remarkably like what we just read about God in Psalm 111, right? Knowing who God is leads to living in a like manner. That knowing God leads to living a godly life. When we know who God is and what He has done, well, then the fear of the Lord would lead us to be compelled to live that out in our lives as well. That we would be marked by those same characteristics and we would be marked by those same actions. And that's where we find confidence. And that's where our children find refuge in times of uncertainty. And all of this, knowing the fear of the Lord and living that out. You see, our confidence is not found in a stimulus package from the government. And our confidence is not even found in a vaccine, though that would be helpful and that would be wonderful. Our confidence is not found there. A vaccine for the coronavirus, a vaccine for COVID-19, it can't cure what ails us the most. What ails us the most is a heart that's set apart from God. What ails us the most is our own sin and our own rebellion. The life that looks to everything else for life, everything but God, that's what ails us the most. That's our greatest need. Rescue from that is our greatest need. And that's what God has given us in Christ. In Christ, God sent His Son to die for us while we were still enemies. And we set ourselves to be enemies. While we were still enemies, Christ died for us. That Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. He gave Himself for us to give us forgiveness, to give us life in Him, life now and life forever in Him. This is God's grace. He's gracious and merciful. This is God's grace for you. And this is God's grace. And we receive that not through works, not through getting ourselves together, not through cleaning ourselves up first. We receive that simply through faith, through trust in Christ. That's how God meets our greatest need. That's His character, God being gracious and merciful, displayed in what He's done for us in sending Christ Jesus for us. And so we could just, even now, we could pause right here. Maybe you're a friend who's been invited to watch this today. Maybe you've never gone to church, or maybe it's been quite some time for you. But I would ask you, is your trust in Christ? Is your trust in Christ alone for forgiveness and for life? You don't have to come to a church building to get that sorted out. You can do that right where you are right now. Would you put your trust in Christ? Maybe you would offer a prayer right now. You could even hit pause and offer a prayer right now and confess to God that you need forgiveness, that you need a Savior. And trust that Jesus did that for you when He gave Himself on the cross for you, when He died in your place and in my place and for our sins. That Jesus is all that you need. That He's the one who raised from the dead. He was the one who was raised from the dead, that you might have life in Him now and forever. Would you trust in that today? And church and friends who have trusted in that. See, it's because of that. When we remember who God is, He's gracious and merciful. And that this is what He's done for us in Christ. It's because of that that our confidence is firmly fixed in Him. In Christ. In Christ, we know clearly who God is. And in Christ, we know clearly what God has done. And so in Christ, church, now we can truly know the fear of the Lord. We can truly know the fear of the Lord. We can truly live in the fear of the Lord. Now in Christ, we can truly live in the recognition of who God is. He's holy and just. That sin deserves judgment, but that instead of giving us what we deserve, He gave it to Christ. And He pours out on us, instead of judgment and wrath, He pours out on us grace and mercy. And that's what we have in Christ. And so our confidence is in the fact that this is who He is, and He won't change towards us. So that united to Christ, no matter what comes, we're secure in Him. We're secure in Him. Our confidence is that if He's done that for us, then He'll certainly not leave us in our time of need now. If He's provided what we need in Christ, He won't leave us in our time of need right now. Our confidence is in Psalm 111, verse 4, remembering His wondrous works. Our confidence is in Psalm 111, verse 2, studying and delighting in His good works. Our confidence is in knowing that He does all things for our good. He works all things for our good. So what do we have to fear? If this God is for us, who can be against us? And so parents and grandparents, the refuge that our children need, and not just our children, the refuge that we need, is found in God. It's found in God. But our children and our grandchildren and others around us, they'll be pointed to that. Right? Our children will find that. They'll walk in that as we show them the way, as we practice the fear of the Lord, as we seek to know God by reading His Word, as we seek to know God more, and we seek to live out godly lives now, as we live out Psalm 112 right now, and we show that by God's empowering work within us, well, Psalm 112, that because of God, we're not afraid. We are not afraid of bad news. Psalm 112, verse 7. We're not afraid of bad news, but instead we're firm and we're trusting in the Lord. Or Psalm 112, verse 4, that just as God has been gracious and merciful toward us, so even now we're the same way towards others. Or Psalm 112, verse 5 and verse 9, that just as God has been generous towards us, we see in Psalm 111, just as God has been generous towards us, so even now, we're generous towards our neighbors, we're generous towards others in need around us. And this security and this confidence that we have in Christ is what leads us to be able to live these kind of lives. As we live secure, as we live in a way that points to God, we'll find confidence, and our children, our grandchildren, others will see that. And in that, they may find refuge and they may find confidence as well. Church, we live in uncertain days, but even so, we can have confidence. We can find refuge and we can have life. And that's found in walking in the fear of the Lord. The recognition of who God is that leads to a reflection of who God is in our lives. Proverbs 14, 26 and 27. It says, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. May that mark all our lives this week. And let's pray together as we close out this time, and then I'm going to mention one quick thing, and then we'll be done. Would you bow, and let's pray. Our God, we thank you for who you are. And God, we thank you for what you've done for us. And God, as we recognize who you are, as we live in this recognition of who you are, your character is a gracious and merciful God who's given his Son for us, and what you've done for us, as we recognize that, God, may that lead us to reflect that to the world around us. And then God, as we know and live in the fear of the Lord, as we know and practice the fear of the Lord, use that confidence, that refuge, that life that we find in the fear of the Lord to point others to you. I pray specifically for our children or our grandchildren, but also God, our neighbors and others around us. May we point others to you by our lives in this time. We thank you for Christ. And God, we thank you that because of Christ, because of the Spirit that you've given us in Christ, God, that we can live these things out, we can trust you, and we can live even now in a way that would honor you. We love you, God. We thank you for your love for us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So, church, in your email or in the Realm Connect app as well, we're gonna send out some follow-up questions. You'll find those there. These would be great for family discussion or a discussion with your spouse or individual reflection. But I'd encourage you to look at those sometime today, work through those sometimes today, individually or together as a family. Also, I just want to say, let us know. Please let us know how we can be serving you and let us know how we can be praying for you very specifically. You can call us, you can email us, but get in touch with us. Let us know how we can serve you, how we can pray for you. Your pastors, we miss being with you. We love you, and we're praying for you regularly. Thank you again so much for coming on today and joining our service. Let's end by hearing God's word together. Psalm 125, verse 1 and 2. God's word says this to us as we go. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. Amen and amen. Thank you, and have a blessed day.